Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Friday, Brewers Outlet Friday, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve will soon be from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And of course, today's show, as every Friday, is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Those barrels and the dills, Steve loves those. Buner apparently loves the garlic, I don't know. But get all that down for this weekend. Get ready for the Pro Bowl with Brewers Outlet, Market Street in Sunbury, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we got a loaded show to wrap up the week here today, starting at 3:35 with Alex Peachin, the Bucknell punter. Tons of FCS records. He just played also in the East-West Shrine Game this past Saturday, so we're going to talk about how his experience was down there, and he will definitely be in an NFL camp come this summer. Inaugural FCS Punter of the Year, 2019 Stats FCS Don Robinson Award winner as the FCF's top scholar athlete too, Patriot League's 14th consensus All-American, and the list just goes on and on with the type of career that Alex Peachin has had, not only this past year, but really since he's been a member of the Bison. Did some holding too on field goals for the West team, so we'll get a chance to talk to him and see how the path to the draft is going or path to the NFL is going and how his experience was playing in the East-West Shrine Bowl down at Tropicana Field, the home of the Tampa Bay Rays. They put that into a football field from a baseball field. So we'll talk to Alex coming up at 3:35 today. And then at 4:06, we got Dick Girardi, broadcast partner of Steve's for Penn State men's basketball. Lots, of course, to talk about with Dick about what's been a big past two games for the Nittany Lions, defeating Ohio State and Michigan, and as Steve has said many times, helping themselves as they get towards the second half of the season. So plenty to get into with Dick Girardi, particularly how Curtis Jones went off, as you heard in the Inside Penn State Athletics report in that second half. And one other thing, too, I think Pat Chambers also deserves a lot of credit with the way he coached that second half. That's, to me, is probably one of the better second halves of basketball that he's coached all year. The fact that he went to one of his seniors off the bench and said, hey, I need you. This is what you're made for. Go out and do it. And lo and behold, he did it in a pretty big and important game for the Nittany Lions. So they're idle till next Wednesday night when they host Indiana, and then they go on the road to Nebraska next weekend. So we'll get into that, and plus, I'm sure, many other topics with Dick Girardi at 4:06. And the King joins us at 4:35 today for his normal time slot with us as we get ready for another weekend in sports. And in the NFL today, a couple of big major notes. Eli Manning officially retiring after 16 years. That speech that he made today is just exactly the person that he is. Kind of quiet, you know, pretty formal, but he's not going to be doing anything over the top. And it was nice. And this is coming from an Eagles fan. And I respect Eli Manning the way he was a quarterback. Obviously, I grew up rooting against him, as an Eagles fan, but he's definitely someone that I respect. That whole Manning family is going to be sorely missed in when it comes to NFL history. So that was nice to see. Then the other side, not so good news with Antonio Brown, in trouble with the law again. He does turn himself into Florida police, and he is now out on bond. $110,000 bond, but now it looks like he's going to get the help that he needs because it's mandated as part of his release with the bond. That includes mental health evaluation, drug and alcohol evaluation, and a couple other things too. But it seems to be, and hopefully that was the reason why he turned himself in, was realizing that he needs to get help, and hopefully he can get that help and get his life back together, and we'll see what goes from there as far as the football side of things go. But so Antonio Brown looks like is finally seeking the help that he needs. And of course, don't forget, we want to hear from you. Penn State, how you feel the last two games from this last two game stretch? 1-800-795-9565. You can tweet us at Steve Jones PSU. We're at the Steve Jones Show on Facebook. And you can also check us out on email too. You can email us stevejonesshow@wkok.com. We definitely want to hear from you about Penn State and about Bucknell too.
Yeah, well, we're going to do that. We got a lot of Alex Peachins on today. That'll be good. Your guy. Talk to your guy, Alex Peachin. And then we'll talk to Girardi today. That'll be great. We got the King on today. I have no idea what we're picking. Are we picking anything today?
Actually, I don't know. I haven't heard from him, so this I'll be just as surprised as you are.
Oh, this will be great. That's what I was hoping for.
We need to pick the Pro Bowl.
We need to pick the Pro Bowl?
Yes, or if not, I'll do it.
You only want to pick the Pro Bowl because it's associated with Disney.
No, I just like the Pro Bowl in general. It has nothing to do with Disney. I just love the Pro Bowl in general. I'm the only person that says that. Okay. I watched the entire skills competition last night, too, and I had a blast watching it.
Let me give you a name that tells you about the Pro Bowl. Xavier Rhodes.
I get it. I know. It's
late
not good.
Replacement.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to deny that. I still enjoy it, but I'm not going to deny that.
Now, will I at one point... What time is the Pro Bowl Sunday?
3 o'clock now on ESPN.
3 o'clock ESPN. Oh, geez. It's on ESPN.
I know. And I think it would do the product better if they had a different network doing the broadcast. I miss when NBC did it. Honestly, I love seeing Alan Chris, and when it was in Hawaii with the Hawaiian shirts on, I thought that was great. But yeah, just having it on ESPN, just I know that doesn't make it any more appealing than I'm sure it already isn't to most people.
It's painful.
Yeah. The two of them were pretty bad last night too, doing the skills competition.
No, I watched a movie last night. No, actually, that's not true. I didn't watch a movie last night. I watched Michigan State, Indiana.
I did. I was flipping back and forth myself.
I had not seen Indiana play all year. And because I had not seen Indiana play all year, I wanted to watch a game with them. So
huge win for them last night. That was a great game.
Yeah, it was a great game. They're 10-1 at home this year. 10-1. So, and they've got Maryland at home Sunday. I think it's before the Pro Bowl, so you should be okay.
Perfect. It's a good viewing day on Sunday.
Yeah, whatever. Unbelievable. So, I mean, you just want to, because it's so close to Disney, you want to feel like you're there.
Since it's there, sure, but like I said, I'd rather have the Pro Bowl back in Honolulu. I tried to start that hashtag a while ago when I was there for my honeymoon. Didn't really pick up.
I don't think they've picked the site for next year, have they?
No, I don't believe so. I think the contract was up after this year at Camping World Stadium.
Well, I know that Camping World Stadium bid for it again. I do know that.
Yeah.
They bid for it.
And so was Aloha Stadium, too.
God, go back there.
I know, exactly.
You want to know why? With all due respect, that's where the players want to go.
Exactly right.
That's where the players want to go. The Pro Bowl, which at times resembles flag football, at times, has higher ratings than a baseball playoff game.
Because the NFL is king.
Baseball is a very interesting business. their revenues are going up all the time because they've done a great job with streaming and certain elements. There's no getting around it. I mean, they're up to like an $11.7 billion industry, baseball. Yet their TV ratings are going down. Their attendance is going down. Now, you would think that those two factors don't bode well for you. Yet, they, again, because they've been smart about how they're, about, you know, the streaming rights and things like that, they've done well with that. The problem is, are they getting fool's gold? The, next week, we are going to do something on prop bets. We always sit down and we go through the prop bets and we have some fun going through them. You know, and we make our choices as to what we would do. No money exchanges hands, thankfully. And there's a really good story on CBS.com about how they come up with the prop bets, including how long is the national anthem, things like that. If you're betting on a prop bet, all I'll say is it's your money. I can tell you my money won't be involved. You're wagering on the length of the national anthem? You're wagering on the coin toss? Where it's a pure guess? Okay. But we have fun with it. And we'll go through next week some of the prop bets that are on the line. Including whether or not, you know, I believe that the MVP still goes to Disneyland, right? Or Disney World?
That is correct.
Wow, we could talk about that and like lure you into the conversation. Get into your area of expertise. Huh?
See, I'm all for it.
Yeah, see, we tie you into the show. Patrick Mahomes, by the way, will be the fifth youngest quarterback to ever start a Super Bowl. Who was younger? Dan Marino. Didn't go well. Ben Roethlisberger. They won. All he did was hand off. I always love Steeler fans. How Ben scored a touchdown in that game. He was 9-21 for 123 yards and had a passer rating of 22.6. Okay? They won in spite of you. Oh, my goodness. I think he threw two interceptions and no touchdowns. Other than that, I thought he was terrific in the game. David Woodley. He did throw a touchdown pass to Penn State's Jimmy Cephalo, but that was it. And then Jared Goff. So the other four quarterbacks were 1-3. And the one that won was really good at handing the ball off to Parker. Eli Manning retired today, officially. And like everything else, he did it with class. He praised Daniel Jones, says he's going to be a great plus moving forward. I said all great things about him. I mean, this guy walks away from the game with his head held high. I mean, yeah, the last couple of years, were they good years? No. You know, it's not what he wanted, what anybody wanted that's associated with the Giants organization. But you know what? Now, remember, the Chargers drafted him, and yeah, they did pull the Elway thing with him, all right, where Elway says, you can tell the Baltimore Colts, you can draft me all you want, but I'm not going to play for you. And Elway then went and played with Oneana in the New York Penn League in baseball. And the Colts traded him to Denver. Well, the Manning family essentially did the same thing. We're not going to San Diego. And the Chargers did draft Eli. And then the Giants drafted Phillip Rivers, and then they swapped guys. Well, essentially, the Giants drafted Eli Manning. Now, why was Eli Manning drafted? Why? Okay. What was his job? His job was to go to New York, and like any guy that you draft to be your starting quarterback, you win us a Super Bowl. Okay? That's why they drafted you. They didn't draft you to just kind of like hang in there and like be, you know, really good all the time. They drafted you to win the thing. That's why they picked you. The idea was, I'm going to pick you, and this is, we're going to win a Super Bowl. He won two. Terry Bradshaw, Bart Starr, Joe Montana, and Tom Brady are the only other four players in the history of the NFL, along with Eli Manning, to be the Super Bowl MVP twice. So when the money was on the table, Eli was at his best. Including beating what Matt refers to as the evil empire.
In a way, yeah.
I mean, Disney now has the rights to Star Wars, so you can basically say that Eli Manning is your Luke Skywalker. We'll come back with more in a moment. See, I try to relate everything to you.
I appreciate it. That's why we work so well.
Yeah, it's like, tried to do that with the suit. I said, Eli Manning is a lot like A.J. Foyt. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Like, and nobody got that. Like, A.J. Foyt, what was he talking about, A.J. Foyt? You're on, I mean, I would have said Mario Andretti, but, he won one Indy 500, not two. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai. And wow, did you want to have a fun day in 2019? Sunbury Motors increased their year-over-year new Hyundai sales by a whopping 70%. Customers near and far are noticing the savings at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. 2020 Hyundai Tucson's have a discount of over $4,000. New Tucson's start at $22,863 with 25 in stock. Sunbury Motors has 12 2020 Hyundai Kona in stock, starting at $22,585. Save up to $28,35 on your next new Kona. 70% increase in sales is huge, and so are the savings at Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Choose from 20 Hyundai Santa Fe's with savings up to $45,71. All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Hurry to Sunbury Motors Hyundai to see how they increase sales by 70%. Sunbury North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
So, Curious George and the man with the yellow hat, huh? What about the big mouse? All right, great to have you with us. Alex Peachin's going to join us in the next half hour. And then Dick Girardi at 4:06, the King at 4:35. Today, it is the lull before the Super Bowl storm, which will be next week. Was it media night is Tuesday? Something like that, Monday, Tuesday. Everybody gets a chance to hear everybody. So, do we have a guest or do we have a caller?
No.
Oh, another personal call. Oh. All right. Because it can't be Lisa calling you for help. She knows she's not going to get any. I taught you well, grasshopper. But the baby stirred? Really? I didn't hear it. Oh, my goodness. All right. And then we'll talk to Alex about the East-West game that he is. Alex Peachin is going to be in a camp. Whether he gets drafted or not, we'll see. But he will be in a camp. Anybody who has that kind of leg, they want to see. So somebody, he either is going to get drafted or he will have multiple.
1120. Restrictions apply. Free delivery excludes holidays and weekends. Order by 5 p.m. See store or staples.com.
Sure, you'll have multiple opportunities. News is next.
taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I mean, do you worry about rooting for something that where one of the primary characters is called Goofy? No? I'm just asking you, Cotrillo. I mean,
Gorsh.
Now he's impersonating him. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right. He is, without question, one of the top punters in the country. And now the NFL scouts are getting a closer look at him, and that's Alex Peachin of Bucknell. First time we've had him on the show. Alex, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here as well.
Okay, when you were in high school, you were a multi-sport guy and did a lot in your high school career. I mean you were named your league's most outstanding back and the whole deal. But in the end, what made you say, if I'm going to be in college sports, I have to be a kicker?
Oh, man. That's kind of a long story, to be honest. But trying to make it
well, that's why. That's why. That's why we got a whole half hour here, man. Take your time.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, going to high school, I never really went to any camps in high school for kicking and punting. So, didn't know what I was going to do, honestly. So, the summer before my senior year, I started going around to different schools, one of those one-day camp sort of things. I was going for football, and I was also going for baseball. And then within football, I was going for quarterback. And then I was also going for kicking and punting. And it was just a hectic summer, and I was doing a bunch of different things. And, the biggest thing was kicking and punting for me. I mean, it just kind of fell into the right place. And I got an offer from Bucknell for being a punter and kicker, and just kind of took its way from there.
Because in high school, you played football, basketball, and baseball. And by the way,
yeah,
I think that's really, really cool you did all three. I think it's really cool. I think you are so, to me, people that specialize at a young age, I think you're missing out on something. All right. What was, for you, which one of those three was actually the most fun to play? Because if I had, like, I'll give you an example. Mike Gesicki, who's with the Dolphins now, right? He played volleyball, basketball, whatever. He'll tell you how much fun he had playing volleyball. Volleyball was not going to be a sport he was going to play collegiately. He could have played basketball or football on the collegiate level, but he just had fun playing volleyball. So which one of the three was the most fun for you?
Oh, man, you know, honestly, at different points in my life, I'd probably say different sports, which is kind of funny, to be honest. But, I mean, I had a lot of good times playing baseball with the teams I was growing up. Just being around them all the time. It was always making runs in the summer, you know, things like that. You know, we got to play on TV before, so I think overall, as a kid growing up, you can't really argue with that. I'd probably go with that one. But, I mean, there was also nothing like Friday Night Lights in high school football, so, I mean, it doesn't really get better than that either. So it's kind of hard to choose between the two.
But you also pitched in the Senior League World Series. And then you pitched in the Big League World Series, too. I mean, what kind of experience was that, and what did that teach you about higher-level competition?
It was crazy. I think the first one was when I was 15, and, we made it all the way, and we actually kind of, like, rallied around a certain cause because one of our teammates' mothers was diagnosed with cancer, and we were all trying to help out as much as we can, just kind of rooting for each other, and I mean, it took off, and up playing in the World Series, and I got the opportunity to pitch in the championship against Panama, and I think we lost 2-1, but it was unreal. You know, we played a kid who I think got drafted the following year by the Mets. He was 15 years old, throwing I think 92 or 93 miles an hour.
Wow.
But I mean, yeah, it was crazy. But I mean, it just tells you that you can compete, but there's also people everywhere that you look that are trying to compete too. So there's a lot of good players out there, and You just got to do your thing.
You ended up being the 2019 FCS Punter of the Year, and you're also the 14th consensus All-American in the history of the Patriot League. As time went, how did you refine yourself as a punter to then develop that leg strength that we see on a game-in and game-out basis?
Mm-hmm. I think leg strength was there was a lot of me actually just growing. So I was also, I mean, I kind of grew really late in high school. I mean, I came out of high school probably 180, I would say.
You're 210 now,
yeah,
right?
I mean, yeah, 210 now. So it was a lot of me filling out and obviously like working in the weight room. Had some great people help me there. So couldn't be where I am today without that help. But I just surrounded myself with good people that are always ready to work, and it turned out well. And I think that strength, that power is just really all you can ask for, honestly.
What did your long snappers mean to you?
A long snapper? I couldn't do it without them. I mean, I can't snap the ball to myself, and they did an unbelievable job to me the whole time I was there. I mean, the person that I spent the most time with in practice and everything, so, I mean, getting to know, I think we had four different ones in my career for a period of, I see a lot of changes there, but always really close to me, and I'm forever thankful for that, honestly.
What was the East-West situation like for you? What was the experience like to be out there and to see yourself out there with many name players where you had an opportunity to show what you could do?
Yeah, I mean, that was unbelievable. I mean, well, first off, just thank you to everybody who set that up, really. I mean, that was just unbelievable and something that I'll never forget just as a whole week. But, you know, it was really cool being around those guys. I mean, it's really interesting. I mean, watching them on TV, I mean, a couple years ago, you know, I was like, oh, man, that's pretty cool. I know that guy. I mean, it turned out that my roommate was Kelly Bryant, who's like quarterback.
Yep.
Transferred to Missouri. So, yeah, that was pretty funny. I mean, he's a great guy. And it was just kind of interesting getting to know everybody, things like that. And unbelievable experience being around them, being on that same field as everybody else. Awesome.
How much contact did you have with NFL people? What were some of the things they talked to you about?
So contact with NFL people, it was like either after practice or in the hotel. I mean, they were pulling guys aside a lot. I talked to a decent amount of teams. I'm not sure exactly how many, but it was a lot of information, you know, maybe your background, that sort of thing, biggest adversity, what do you think you do well, that sort of thing. I think some of them were a little bit more in-depth. Questions I thought before, but I can't remember one off the top of my head that I was specifically. I was like, oh man, I really never even thought about that. But he was like, yeah, it's okay, I'll wait. So he just watched me think for 30 seconds. But I mean, it was really cool. It was a great experience, and I think I learned a lot from it too.
I want to ask about the kickoff part, because there are many punters in the NFL that also double in kicking off. You did that as a freshman, kicked off, but not so much as time went. Were you asked about that, and were you asked to showcase that in practice?
I was asked about it, and people asked me if I was going to do it in practice. But I told them no, I wasn't going to do it in practice. I can do it, and it's something I'll probably do in the future. But in terms of the East-West Shrine game and actually kicking off there, it's just the way they did it in the game was you'd only get one kickoff in the beginning of the half and then kickoff at the end of that or the second half. So, and I know that our kicker was definitely wanted to do the kickoff, so I just wanted to show him. And we didn't really practice it too much anyway. It was mostly field goals and things like that for him as well. So, kind of taking that away, that it was something that he always did. So I just felt like he needed to do it as well.
Holding. That's another thing that punters are asked to do in the NFL. Many times you'll see it's the punter, it's the holder. What kind of experience do you have there?
Yeah, so I've been doing that the last, I think, 3 years or so. Something that I never really did before because I used to kick when I was younger. But, I mean, I think knowing that and knowing how a kicker thinks, you know, because I used to do it, I've realized what's important in a holder. And I kind of think I can use that to my advantage. But I really enjoy holding, honestly. It's fun, you know, you get to catch and help out somebody. So, I mean, it's really fun to get to use your athletic sometimes. And can't really ask for anything more than that, honestly. So, it's a good time.
Okay, so I got to ask you about a couple stats you had this year. You got to run once, you got 12 yards on it. So, take us back on the play.
All right, so that was Colgate. So,
yeah, the Colgate game, yep.
Yeah, so we had, I was really excited, first off, because that was the first time I get to run in 5 years. So that was definitely something that I haven't done in a long time. But it was cool. I mean, we would put in fake punts pretty much, like, weekly. We would have a decent amount of them, and it just never really came up too much in game situation where we actually felt we needed it. But it was something that we ran in practice a few times, and I was always really excited to do it. It was probably the best time of my week, to be honest. But so we had, I forget what the rule was. It was like kind of around the 50-yard line. It might have been past our, like, the minus 40. We would think about running it. And it was just their scheme where they would rush two guys on the outside and just basically bail everyone in the middle. So we had our two shield guys just shield them from the middle and push them outside, and I could just run free. It totally worked. So, I mean, it was a great call by the coaches. And I mean, I don't think I got touched until 12 yards downfield. So still pissed myself for not breaking that tackle or something. But, yeah, I mean, it was a great first run. I'll take it. So.
Hey, if you broke the tackle, believe me, the Colgate guys would have played it back and back and back. If you broke the tackle, they would have done that. Now, and then you were asked on two occasions to throw the ball, and against Lafayette, you hit it. So take us on that play.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've always wanted to throw the ball, too, because, I mean, growing up and playing in high school, I was a quarterback.
Right.
So I was always asked, let me throw one. But, yeah, you know, we finally ran one. I think the first one was at Villanova, and it was more of a screen thing. And right. They kind of snuffed it out, and I had to basically get rid of it. So I was 0-for-1, and I think my dad was making fun of me for a little bit, saying I never completed a pass in my career. But so come Lafayette. I think this is when I had this feeling as a kicker as well. So we kind of did the old LSU play.
Yes,
where the guy, the holder, flips it over his head to the kicker, but we kind of threw in a wrinkle where our wing would roll out to the first down marker, and you know, it was just something I didn't really think about. You just got rid of it, and the guy made a great catch too. I actually threw it a little behind him, but he made a catch and took a big hit on it as well. But it was first out, so I was pretty happy. It was a good one.
Yeah, oh yeah, that was a good one, all right. You were a dual major at Bucknell. I mean, I was lucky just to get through my one major. All right. and it was sports broadcasting. At least I'm still using my degree, Alex.
Yeah, exactly. No, you can't argue with that. It's, a lot of people don't even do anything with their studies in college.
Okay, so biomedical engineering and management for engineers.
Yes. Right.
What steered you in that? Obviously, you're going to one of the great academic schools in the country. When did you develop that interest and say you wanted to major in that? Was it before Bucknell, or once you got here, you decided to do it?
I think it was before Bucknell, specifically the engineering part. Because actually, I switched into the double major my sophomore year. So I was originally just biomedical engineering. So I think when I was growing up, I always knew I was a little good at math, so that was kind of a little inkling as to where I was going to go. You know, when I was growing up, I would ask my parents to give me, like, math problems on the swings when I was a little kid. So a little embarrassing, but
no, kind of it is not. That's not. No, that's not embarrassing.
So, I mean, that kind of like steered me. I was always really good at math, always doing fine with that. So I kind of figured I wanted to use that. And then I also took an anatomy class in high school, and I think it was like sophomore year or so. And I mean, I loved it, and the teacher was amazing, and I learned a ton, and I just kind of fell in love with the human body and how it works. So knowing those two things and combine them together with, you know, just my general belief that people should help people when they have the ability to do so. I mean, that was pretty easy choice for biomedical engineering, honestly.
All right. Obviously, we want you to get to the NFL, and we want you to get the opportunity and have a really great career. But once it is over with these degrees, what would you like to do with it?
Yeah, I'm not sure, honestly. Definitely want to play football first. That's the main
absolutely.
Goal. But,
absolutely.
I don't know, honestly. I mean, I think probably something with medical devices.
Okay.
I was fortunate enough to have two internships at the same company during my college career in the summer, and that was with a medical device company. It was a startup company, and they're focusing on like a gene cell therapy device that they can administer therapeutics, and it was unbelievable, honestly. So I just learned an incredible amount, just stuff you don't learn in college, and it really makes you think, honestly. And I was surrounded by some great people, so I could probably see myself working in a situation or an environment like that as well.
It's remarkable because obviously Penn State's punter for the last 4 years has been Blake Gilligan. And he's in the Shriars Honors College, pre-med, 4.0. And I used to kid him all the time. I said, you know, Jack Ham and I combined for a 4.0. All right, so it's Alex, I don't care whether it's the NFL or the XFL, whatever it may be, we hope you make it. And we appreciate the time you gave us. It was a lot of fun for me to talk with you. I think the audience enjoyed it far more than ever realized. And your dad will not make fun of you for this interview as opposed to the pass against Villanova.
It's all right. I'm 1-for-2 now, so that's a decent percentage.
Hey,
be all right.
At least you're on the board.
Yeah, no, I'll take it, honestly. Yeah, it's funny to see your knee up there, that's for sure.
Hey, you know what? Something tells me you're going to get into a camp. You're going to impress. And I got a funny feeling we're going to be talking about Alex Peachin in the NFL next year. By the way, very quickly, did anybody talk to you about what the next step is? Going to either a combine, or better yet, probably a pro day, like maybe even Penn State's pro day, because they take in more than just Penn State players at Penn State's pro day. Has anybody talked to you about that?
Yeah, so I'm waiting on a combine invite. I'm going to keep crossing my fingers. I think they have to be done by the end of this month. So
yeah, yes. I'm
going to keep crossing my fingers for that. Hopefully that comes through. If not, I'll probably do some specialist combine. But after that is the pro day, I guess, in March, and we're not exactly sure where I'm going to do that yet or how I'm going to do that, but I'm definitely going to have one, and I'm just going to look forward to it. Honestly, it's going to be a great couple of months of training and ready to get to work for it.
Alex, thanks so much for your time. We wish you nothing but the best of luck. Whatever, all the positive stuff that happens, you will have earned it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Appreciate you very much. Alex Peachin of Bucknell. We'll come back. Dick Girardi, and we'll talk about college basketball and the Nittany Lions. The King in the final half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And the pickle bar led by the barrels of the hills, indeed second to none. Dick Girardi, the great man himself, in the next half hour. We'll talk about Penn State and college basketball. The king in the final half hour. Our dramatic Pro Bowl picks are coming up. We're doing this to appease the co-host.
I am locked and loaded.
I'm sure you have all sorts of facts and figures which will stun and bedazzle the audience. As will the game.